There it is. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati, Terura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yitav Tzadik, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Selvenu, Taharenu, Nora, Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Sheyehudcha, Kevavat, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kafshin, Barchem Tacharem, Rachamei Sidkarcha, Gamlem, Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. The letters of the month, the Kaf that created the sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh. Excuse me, the constellation, yes, Aryeh, the lion, Leo. Chasin Kadosh, Beroch Tuvcha, Nael Adata, Het Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayan. Yachide, Lampa Pene, Zokre Kedushatash, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shabbatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shin Kufal, Tzadi Yutah. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm reading from the Parsha of Ekev, section 3, 10 things one must do for the meal. And this is referring to the Shabbat meal, and it's referring to the any meal where you've broken bread. That's not a snack, and sandwiches are considered a snack. Verse 54. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kononeh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kononehu. Ela begin de kol ama belishana behaya ki yirav behit katsef vekalel bemalko uvalchav ufana lemala aval yisrael inun kayama de kudsha berichu behai midah Velachishin beugid bemida dayit parkun. Ahidikti veat amani. Toshia viani lishana. De inu diafilu. Et le levarnash utra. Vitu bemarin. Umaktashin. Ani itkare o dirtachankin le begine vitsarin le kol yoma kol shaken mandi hu rashmina mine vihud cholech meatar leatar. He responds, it is only because about each nation and people. It is said, and it shall come to pass, that when they shall be hungry, they shall find themselves and curse their king and their Elohim and look upward. However, the children of Israel are in the covenant with the Holy One, blessed be He, also with this virtue, and do not deny His existence. Hence they shall be redeemed by this virtue. This is the meaning of, and the afflicted people you shall save. Ani, the English meaning, the English word poor, is derived from anui, suffering. Since even when one has wealth, but suffers from illnesses and afflictions, he is considered poor, or he is distressed for his wealth, and is afflicted every day. This is surely true for one who is poorer than him, meaning that he lacks even enough to fulfill his needs, and must wander from place to place, who is most certainly considered poor. This verse is talking about the verse in the Torah that specifies that you shall bless after you eat. Because the Torah says you shall eat and become satiated and then bless. And all of the major religions of the world, the Muslims and the Christians, bless before they eat. And we also bless before we eat. But that's not what the Torah says. Torah says to bless afterwards. And it's very important that people do the Berkat HaMazon when they've eaten bread, or the final blessing when they've eaten snacks. And there's a simple one-verse blessing for when you've had something to drink, or, you know, something very small. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Just for the recording, I want people to know how to get the handout. The handout is available by going to yeshem.com, clicking on the Revealed Wisdom link at the top of the page, then scrolling down to the matrix. And within the matrix itself, the second column from the left is titled Advanced Classes. And the eighth row is Advanced Classes for Teshuvah. And tonight we are discussing the second handout, which is titled Vadui, Confession. This is our second class in... in the process of Teshuvah and in the High Holidays. And as we've discussed, we're going to be talking about this different aspects, different subjects for the next 5 weeks minimum, probably closer to 6, 7, or 8 weeks. Last week we discussed what is Teshuvah. We defined it. We read various issues from the sages. And it was simple, but not easy. Like most of the corrections in Kabbalah, the tools are simple, but they're not easy to do. They're difficult for each individual person. What we're going to talk about tonight is easy to do, but not easy to do. As this modern commercial on television, where the woman goes into the home convenience store and says she wants the color purple, but not the color purple. You know what I mean? And it's obviously clear. How could that sentence be understood? Vadui is easy. But if you do vadui properly, it's not easy. Most people will say the Vidui. They say it many times in the year, and we'll explain about that. But most people say it as rote, as memorized. They may be reading it from the Siddur, but they're not focusing on the meaning of the words. And that's what we're talking about. The second step in the Rambam's description of Teshuvah is confession. And the Hebrew word is vadui. So we're going to talk about what it means to confess. And please excuse me for one instant. All right. Wikipedia defines vidui this way. Confession. The Hebrew word vidui, spelled vav, dalet, vav, yud. And you can see that it's very close in spelling. It's cognate to the word vadai, which is spelled vav, dalet, aleph, yud. And vadai means certainty. And literally, I've stepped away from the handout, but literally, saying confession is a connection to certainty. Because the Vav and the Aleph are letters that can be substituted together under various techniques, various gematria and noterican techniques. Confession, vidui, is a step in the process of atonement. And I'm going to take another break, and I want you to look at the Hebrew word, the English word atonement. Now changed it to be at one ment. Because the saying of the confession, the saying of the vidui, is a technique that unifies the soul with Hashem. Continuing, the confession, the vidui, is a step in the process of atonement, at-one-ment, during which a Jew admits to committing a sin before God. In sins between a Jew and God, the confession must be done without others present. The Talmud calls confession in front of another a show of disrespect. On the other hand, confession pertaining to sins done to another person are permitted to be done publicly. And in fact, the Maimonides, the Rambam, calls such confession immensely praiseworthy. You see how easy this is? On one hand, you're not supposed to do it publicly. On the other, it's praiseworthy to do it publicly. The confession of a sin in itself does not bring immediate forgiveness, but rather it marks a point in time after which a person's demonstration of the recognition and avoidance of similar future transgressions show whether he or she has truly recovered from the sin, and therefore whether he or she deserves forgiveness for it. By confessing, we are stating, implying, that we will not do it again. So prior to the confession is that feeling of remorse, of, I don't want to say I'm sorry, because everyone says that vidui is saying you're sorry. But that's not what it's really meaning. First comes the feeling the passion, the illness, the thinking of that act as being wrong is sick to your stomach kind of feeling. That's the beginning. That's the first step. The second step is to verbally admit that you did this action that you find so horrendous. Vidui is a Hebrew prayer that is recommended to say many times during the year. It is also suggested that a vidui be said prior to sleep each night as part of your daily cheshbon. Cheshbon is the Hebrew word for calculation. That each person is recommended to do in reviewing his efforts and actions and inactions and words said and words not said during the day. In our hectic life, most people do not do this, but it is highly recommended as part of the nighttime Shema. It's one of the 10 steps in the nighttime Shema. We say Vidui in the high holidays of Rosh Hashanah, and we say Vidui in the prayers of Yom Kippur. There are Orthodox traditions in the Sephardic community, not all of the communities of the Sephardim, but many of them say Vidui every Friday, preparing for Shabbat. Confession is easy. Let me rephrase that. Confession is simple, but not easy. The Vidui prayer is said in the order of the Aleph Bet. In the direct order, it represents a request for mercy. When people say psalms, paragraphs, sentences that are in the order of the Aleph Bet, even words that are follow the order of the Aleph Bet, that is literally, not metaphorically and literally, putting the universe back in order. This is the power and the true value to the tool that Hashem gave us of the Aleph Bet. Our sages teach that when we judge ourselves, the universe does not judge us. And when we judge others, the universe judges us. Keep this in mind as you review your daily actions, inactions, efforts, words, said and not said. It is highly recommended every night, but also during the month of Elul, as we'll discuss probably next week when it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. We'll discuss why Elul makes it so simple and supports the saying of confession, the doing of the actions of Teshuvah. The next paragraph on the handout is the Vidui, and it's done in the Aleph Bet. Sean, I also need to mention to you, these words are all ending in the word nu, or ot. They're all ending in the plural. We never say, I did this action. We always say, we did this action. There's a very deep lesson in unity that's expressed in this prayer, paragraph statement essay that the sages created for us. When we identify the noun we, the pronoun we unify with everybody else. When I say, I stole, God forbid, I'm excluding, I'm creating separation. Now, does everybody who is part of the Jewish nation stolen? More than likely, yes. Because when we say I stole or we stole, we're not just talking about the simple act of taking a piece of candy off the shelf when I was 9 years old. Or cheating somebody with the scales and measures in our businesses. But all kinds of theft. Theft of time. Theft of consciousness. We'll talk about it as we go through the list of items that we mention. But let me say the Vidui prayer. Normally this should be sung, so I am going to sing it. Most people do not sing it, they just say it. And again, because they don't understand the power of singing. Asham nu begad nu gazal nu de barnu dofi vilashon hara. Hewenu behir shanu zadnu chamasnu talfanu sheker umimet wotecha mirma yaatsnu atzot raot kizavnu kasanu latsnu maradnu marinu divarecha. Niatznu, niafnu, sararnu, awenu, pashanu, pagamnu, tsaranu, arnu, tsearnu, av, weem, kishenu, oref, rashanu, shechayatnu, teavnu, tahinu, weteatanu, wesarnu, memetwotecha, umimesh, patecha, hatovim, weloshawalanu, weatatzadik, al kol haba, aleinu ki emet asita, wa anachnu hirshanu. I didn't sing it in a happy song, but it's a more lighthearted song than a dirge. Most people think when you're saying that confession, you should be sad, you should be ashamed. They're not going to sing it with joy. But everything we do is meant to be done with joy, including confession. Now we're going to be looking at a translation. This is not a word-for-word literal translation. Abraham Sutton, Rabbi Abraham Sutton, is one of my teachers. He's lived in Israel since the early 50s, if not the late 40s. He has studied the Kabbalah. He is, in my opinion, and more than my opinion, the foremost translator of the ancient texts alive today. He spends hours determining the exact right nuance to translate, as you will see as we read his translation of this, of these words. The Dewey equals confession. This is a Vidui confession before learning. There are people who, before they sit down to study, will say the confession, because the confession is cleansing. The confession is building a vessel to hold the light of their study. We confess our sins before learning to clear the air and to receive the best effect from our recitation. Our recitation is what we call learning. When we say the Psalms, when we say a verse from Torah, when we say a verse from Tanakh, we're doing reciting the verse, and that is known as study. Because the Hebrew letters come into our soul and help our soul change. We confess our sins as part of the process of Teshuvah as well. Rabbi Avraham Sutton's translation. We beseech you, and I went too fast and went scrolled too fast. We beseech you, Hashem our God and God of our fathers, ancestors, let our prayers come before you, our King. Do not ignore our supplications, for Hashem our God and God of our ancestors, we are not so arrogant and stiff-necked as to think that we are completely righteous and have not erred. On the contrary, we want to admit to you and to ourselves that we have erred. Chet. We have sinned intentionally in order to satisfy our lusts. Avon, the Hebrew word is avon. And we have rebelliously committed crimes which have caused us to become coarse and insensitive, and therefore unworthy of your forgiveness. Pesha, a third word that we would translate normally as sin. Chet, avon, pesha. And there's a fourth one, avir. These three words are denoting a mistake. Continuing to translate. This goes for us, our parents, and the members of our families, whether now or in previous lifetimes. We're including everybody. Last lifetime, previous lifetimes, family. We have done these things. Note the code words parents and members of our families refer to reincarnation of our own souls as well as our parents in our physical life, our parents in a previous incarnation. In the Bible, in the Torah itself, it says a man will not have the mistakes, the repercussions, the chaos that comes from the mistakes visited on another man. But it says that those same repercussions, that same chaos, will be visited upon the children of the man up to three or four generations. And the only way you can reconcile those two verses is to acknowledge reincarnation, and that the actions, the mistakes that are made by a certain person's soul. Those repercussions come to that soul in their next incarnation, or the incarnation after that, or the incarnation after that, and even the fourth incarnation. We wish to admit our guilt, but not to fall into excessive guilt, which actually prevents us from doing teshuvah. We have been ungrateful for all the good done to us, and even repaid bad for good. We have robbed, we have been two-faced, and spoken slander behind others' backs. We have caused others to deviate from the right path. We have caused others to do wrong. We have acted maliciously. We have acted violently and fraudulently to get what we want. We have framed lies and been deceitful in order to save ourselves and get others in trouble. We have advised others to do things that were harmful to them. We have spoken falsely and not kept our word. We let our anger get the best of us. We have scoffed and made light of serious matters. We have rebelled against you. We have compromised your truth for our own convenience. We have shown contempt and thereby provoked your displeasure. We have committed adultery and other sexual offenses. We have been stubborn and turned our hearts away from you. We have sinned intentionally in order to satisfy our lust and have gotten caught in the web of our own rationalizations. We have rebelliously committed crimes which have caused us to become coarse and insensitive and therefore unworthy of your forgiveness. We have damaged the very things which are most sacred and precious to us. We have oppressed and harassed. We have caused our parents grief and anguish. We have been stiff-necked and obstinately ignored all of your reminders to repent and better our ways. We have acted wickedly and become twisted inside. We have corrupted and destroyed our innate sense of right and wrong. We have lost our human dignity and stooped to the level of animals. We have completely gone astray and lost our way in life. We have misled others to go astray as well. I'm suggesting that you go count them in the English, and then count them in the Hebrew, as we will discuss as we go through this. There's a meaning to every number, every word, every letter. In sum, we have turned away from your good commandments and ethical laws, all to no avail. As you know, I would not translate mitzvot as commandments. But the expert is Rabbi Sutton, and in this context of doing confession, commandments may be a better choice. Rabbi Sutton teaches similar to what I teach. He is one of my teachers. He does explain that a mitzvah is a connection. But in the context of confession, perhaps a mitzvah should better be rendered as a commandment. Because a commandment, according to the Zohar, is idol worship. And when we have done those negative actions, we have done idol worship. But you are just with regard to any punishment that befalls us, for you have acted truthfully while we have just hardened our hearts and become more enmeshed in our sins. This rest of this next section is a list of the Hebrew words and their explanation as I would define them based on my connection to a dictionary. And you can see how I'm defining and translating literally, where Rabbi Sutton is translating metaphorically. Determine what is right for you. I do not put my translations on the par with Rabbi Sutton. His is actually quite beautiful in its poetry. Ashamnu, guilt. As you go through this list, now is a good time to create a list of things that come to mind that you need to transform yourself about, to change not doing them again. And it's not acceptable to say, I'm guilty. You have to know what you're guilty of doing or not doing. You have to be aware of the exact specific action. So when you say we are guilty, let's look at what I am guilty of and make this list that's going to make me sick to my stomach. Begadnu, covering. What have you hidden from public scrutiny? Gazalnu, robbery and theft. There is a difference between being a robber and being a thief. We're not going to really go into it, but the Talmud spends a significant amount of words discussing those differences. Most people do not think of themselves as a robber or a thief. Consider if you have ever been late to a meeting that people needed to wait for you. You are guilty of theft of time. If you have ever wasted time while employed and accepted the full salary, that period you are guilty of stealing from your employer or your client if you're self-employed. Divarnu dofi, faulty words. Did you ever give someone directions that you were not certain about and cause them to miss their appointment or some other catastrophe? Isn't it better to give them your best knowledge? Because after all, they're lost. They don't know where to go. Or is it better to say, I don't know? And that applies in many aspects of our lives. V'lashon hara, evil speech. Did you ever give someone a compliment in public? You are committing evil speech. Not always, but most of the time. It is too long to explain all this in a short time. Evil speech is telling the truth. It's not a lie. And even if you would tell the speech in front of the other person, and even if you would speak about someone else in front of that person, this is all forms of evil speech. And I've given you a list, a page to go to, a website to go to, where you can sign up to get a daily email that is well worth spending 3-4 minutes a day learning about evil speech, because it is a significant part of why we are so long in exile. Awomnu, hate. Of course we think that we do not hate, yet the temple has not been built due to hatred for no reason. That's what the sages tell us. So look closely at your motivation for why you do not like someone. I'm going to spend a little bit of time explaining what hatred for no reason is all about. Joseph told stories about his brothers to his father. They hated him. Esav and Jacob hated Jacob. Let me rephrase this. Edom or Esav hated Jacob. But they had a reason. They were striving for in competition with each other, and that can tend to breed hate. But that hate has a reason. It's a justifiable emotion. It's not a good emotion, and we need to strive to eliminate it, but it's justifiable. But hatred for no reason is not justifiable. Hatred for no reason is pure evil, pure selfishness. And we learn from the most evil animal on the face of the earth, according to the Zohar, what hatred for no reason is. The Zohar tells us the most evil animal on the face of the earth is that little baby lamb. My teacher, one of my teachers said, how can this be? The lady, everybody, every little kid loves to play with the lamb. There's the, they have wool, it doesn't make any sense. So he went to the zoo and he observed the lambs in the zoo. And he tried to understand what the Zohar was teaching us. And he spent all day there. And he couldn't understand what the Zohar was saying until finally, at the end of the day, the zookeepers came in and fed them the animals. They put a dish for each animal. Each animal had the same amount of food in his dish. And as they were eating, my teacher observed one animal run after another animal in the middle of the dinner and push him away from his food. Ram him away from his food, which is where the name for the male lamb becomes ram. Now that's justifiable if you want his food too, isn't it? But that's not what the lamb did. He pushed the other lamb away from his own food. And then the first lamb who was doing the pushing returned to his plate, his bowl, his place. And what he was saying, and this is hatred for no reason, I want what you have, but worse yet, I don't want you to have it when I have it. This is pure evil. This is pure selfishness. I want everything in the world, and I don't want you to have it as well. I want what you have. That's a motivation for gaining what I'm missing. But to deny you having that same thing, that's selfish. That's evil. That's hatred for no reason. Vaharasha anu, to act cruel or to do evil. You have heard about the issue of bullying in the schools today. That takes place in the workplace also. When we make fun of a person who is the butt of all of the company jokes, we are acting cruel. When we make fun of a person, they do find out, even if we hide it from them. And it is cruel. It lowers their self-esteem. They have no way to fight back. And why do we do it? So we feel better about ourselves. Because after all, if the other person is lower than me, I'm higher than him, I can feel good. Zadnu, to plot evil. This is dealing in the level of thoughts, judging others. Hamasnu, to wrong someone using violence, destruction, injury. There is no coincidence that this word, which is pronounced Hamas, is the name of one of the Palestinian organizations, which is the government in the Gaza Strip. It doesn't mean the same thing in the Arabic language, someone will say. It is not coincidence that the organization Hamas uses violence and destruction and injury to achieve their goals. The next item, having a suppressed or secondary attitude that causes us to exaggerate and lie. This is when we do things that end up hurting people, and we did our actions without really thinking things through. Evil advice and counsel. When we give advice, that is accepted by the person to which we give it, and that advice turns out to be wrong. We need to do teshuvah, since we do not know if by giving the advice we became the cause of the other person's actions. I've expressed a metaphor to you of turning on the lights in a room. Please go to the wall and turn on the light switch for me. I'm tired. I'd appreciate it if you'd do that for me. And that person gets up and goes and turns on the light. Who is the cause of turning on the light? In Kabbalah, that cause is not the person who did it. They were acting robotically, just following your suggestion. You were the one who turned on the light. When you give someone advice, and they're following that advice, even though they may have asked for the advice, the consequences of their actions belong to you. This is a spiritual law. This is a very deep Kabbalistic truth. Kazadnu, lying or falsehoods. If you say something polite, but do not truly mean it at the internal level of your emotions and your passions, it's considered a falsehood. You look so beautiful today. But I'm jealous of that outfit you're wearing. This is a lie. This is saying a falsehood. Kiasnu, quick-tempered or irascible person. The opposite of an irascible person is a cheerful, pleasant, easygoing person. This is why this type of action needs teshuvah. if you're not happy, if you're not pleasant, if you're not cheerful, you're an irascible person. Leatsnu, to be cold or cool off. Also to joke or mock or to deride. When one is busy with one's own things, it is easy to appear to others as one does not care or one is being cold. And also there is no joke that does not belittle someone else. There is a big difference between laughter and joking and being happy and having joy in one's life. Maradnu, to rebel or to revolt, an insurrection or an uprising. Consider the idea that disagreeing with authority is actually an insurrection or a revolt. Of course, how does one balance true disagreement? Remember the adage, there is no coercion in spirituality. Yes, you can disagree with authority, but you can't attempt coercion. And even an argument to try and change their mind can be considered coercion. Bitter words or sad words. Let me go back to that and just express. So how can you get someone to agree with you? By acting properly in everything that you do. And the light that you will reveal will cause that person, those people, to see you for the tzaddik you have become. And they will cause you. They will change their mind by observing you, not because you've talked them into it or even suggested it to them. To blaspheme or abuse or to become angry. I think these words are clear. To commit adultery. Adultery is a hint to all of the sexual improprieties, as well as jealousy and coveting. To disobey or to rebel. Do not mistake this as relating to mitzvot as commands. It relates to your not dealing properly with the concept of zchut. Zchut is a Hebrew word when translated as merit. Yet zchut has an inbuilt relationship to hierarchy. And this is what is meant to rebel or disobey, doing actions that do not honor the appropriate hierarchy. In the Jewish religion, in the giving at Mount Sinai, there was a hierarchy. Moses and Aaron and the 70 elders and the heads of the tribes went up the mountain, but the other people were staying at the bottom of the mountain and were not allowed even to set foot on the mountain. And as they walked up the hill, they climbed the mountain. Different people stopped at different places on the mountain. Built into the religion is hierarchy. Hostility. This relates to how open you are to new ideas and new people in your life. Do you approach the newness as an opportunity or a burden? Do you stop communication by your hostile body language? If somebody knows you're not going to listen, they'll stop talking. Transgression. In Hebrew, as we've spoken earlier, there are multiple words that translate as sin. In this case, it indicates a mistake where we overstepped a boundary. This boundary can be a societal law or a human interaction where we cross the boundary established by another person that we may not even have been aware of doing. Or not establishing a boundary that then causes us to be angry at another person for doing what they did when we're the cause by not creating the boundary. The next one is to render a defect, to mar or to impair. Think about your actions to determine in what way have you caused someone to think that another person is impaired or defective. A strong, simple example is calling oneself or another stupid or ignorant. It may be the truth, but it is going to impair that person's opinion of themselves. It's going to mar their opinion of themselves. To wrap or bind. These can be physical bonds or emotional bonds or mental bonds. They can be on ourselves or on others. Suffering, pain, or grief, especially causing this to parents. Kishanu Aref, usually translated as stiff-necked in the Torah. Stiff-neck indicates stubborn and arrogant or aloof. I think this is easily understood as an item to perform teshuvah. You cannot be stiff-necked and happy. Pure evil. The Kabbalah defines evil as the desire to receive for oneself alone. Have you ever been involved with something that cares only for your well-being and does not take into account who or what suffers or receives pain or hurt as a result? This is evil. To ruin, to destroy, to corrupt, to spoil. Have you ever spoiled someone's plans or destroyed someone's happiness? An abomination. This is made famous from the sexual no-nos listed in Leviticus. The definition of abomination is something shameful, something that is immoral, disgusting, or shameful or intense dislike. A feeling of intense dislike or disapproval towards somebody or something. Please read through this definition. What actions have you done that make you feel this strong emotion? Getting lost when I lack direction. When I lack direction, what I do has not a goal and therefore is a wasted action. This needs teshuvah to correct. Deception, to delude, to swindle, to lead astray. Please realize when you suggest a path for a friend to follow, it not might be the correct path for them. Because when we speak words to others, those words are meant for us. If they follow the advice and it is incorrect for them, it takes teshuvah to cleanse this mistake. Sullen, vulgar, and poor taste. Of course, we usually do not consider ourselves, our values might be in poor taste. Yet if we judge ourselves, we will realize that many times our decisions are vulgar and in poor taste, as they want to put someone else in a lower level than ourselves. Once one has a list of items that they decide to change, they start the process of teshuvah. One of the tools we utilize is called the dream question. But before I go into the dream question, The list that you create for Teshuvah will be a long one if you're doing it properly. You cannot do Teshuvah for all of these things. But please, pick one, maybe two, at most three of the larger, more important items, and concentrating on doing Teshuvah during this period. So one of the tools that we utilize is called the dream question. This is a tool we use when we do not remember clearly what action was done. This especially applies to actions dealing with previous lives, because we don't remember what we did. We have hints from the Creator. We have hints from our astrological birth time. We have hints, but we don't know what we did. We ask a dream question. Please understand the way the universe works. When you make a mistake in a previous life, you will be given the opportunity to correct that mistake in this life. So actually, we do not need to correct the actions from the previous life, except for the actions associated with hatred for no reason, as I will explain. Now I need to explain something that is a mechlochet, an argument for the sake of heaven among the sages. People think that if they do a good deed, it balances a negative action. Sometimes the tzaddikim will tell their followers to do some positive action to balance a previous negative action. Then less educated and knowledgeable people expand this teaching to apply it to people in situations that it is not supposed to be handled this way. Someone went to a sage, to an important person, and asked what he could do to correct some negative thing that he had done. And that person told him to do something positive, and that would correct what he had done wrong. And other less knowledgeable people then take that information and expand it and say, whoa, all I have to do is a good deed and I'm cleansing, wiping up my negative deeds. It's not true. Because when the sage gives advice to someone, it's to that person in that situation alone. It's always relative to the person and the situation. The truth is the universe must be balanced. Our negative action must be atoned for through balancing our negative action in exactly the same way. This is where the tool of a dream question comes into play. The dream question procedure. Formulate a specific question to ask. Do this carefully. Write the question down so you ask it in exactly the same manner. Sit on your bed and ask a specific question out loud to the universe. Do this as the last thing you do prior to falling asleep or prior to saying the nighttime Shema, which is normally the last thing you do before falling asleep. You may whisper the question if you do not want your partner to hear the question, but it is better and necessary to say it out loud. You will receive an answer, either in a dream or during the next day. You must be open to receive the answer, and you may not understand the answer you receive. You will know that this is the answer because you will have a flash thought at the instant you receive the answer, that this is the answer to your question. You still may not understand the answer. If you do not receive an answer, ask the same question every night, night after night, up to 7 days in a row. If you receive an answer but do not understand it, call me at my phone number for assistance in understanding the answer. If the answer is unclear, then at the time of the next night, ask the universe to clarify the answer by stating out loud, "This is the answer I received." Describe the answer, describe your understanding, and then ask, "Is that correct?" Or asking for the universe to send you a clarification. Again, up to 7 days in a row. This is especially good to ask with respect to the cause of hatred for no reason. Also for determining the beginning of the mistake. An example of this is a woman who decides to abort an unwanted pregnancy. You do complete teshuvah, one must return to the moment when the action takes place. In an event such as an unwanted pregnancy, knowing the event that begins the mistake is difficult. It might be the moment of conception, or the discussion with the partner where they decide together, or the moment of entering the operating room in the process of going back to the future, which I will describe elsewhere. One must know the beginning point. Asking a dream question will get you that beginning point. The process and halakha of teshuvah. For a mistake between you and Hashem, follow this procedure. Realize that it is a mistake. Verbalize confession to Hashem privately, not publicly, but it must be out loud. Decide to not do this action again and ask Hashem for help in being able to not do it again. You are complete with the initial stage of teshuvah. For complete teshuvah, see below. Please note, complete teshuvah is very rare. It's very rare that a mistake between you and Hashem does not include a mistake between you and other people. This is because in our generation, any mistake we make delays the coming of Mashiach and therefore impacts the whole world. For a mistake between you and another person, you must confess publicly to that person and ask him to forgive you. If he does not forgive you by saying these exact words, "I forgive you for the action you did, for the specific action you did," you must ask him again and again for forgiveness, at least 3 times. If he still does not forgive you and you are absolved, if he does not forgive you after you've asked him 3 times, you are absolved of that mistake. And he has a mistake that you must forgive him for, not forgiving you. You must also make amends to all that you hurt. For example, if you embarrass someone in public, all of the people who witnessed that embarrassment have been hurt, and you will need to ask them for forgiveness and make amends. We will discuss what making amends means later. Complete teshuvah. Between you and Hashem, you perform the ritual of Yom Kippur. And when you hear the final blowing of the shofar at the closing of the gates of Nila, the blowing of the shofar, your teshuvah for actions between you and Hashem is complete. Between you and other people, you must go back to the future. This is the idea of returning to that moment in time that the actions were performed and changing the action. You do that through deep meditation, where you visualize that moment, the people who were there, the room you were in, the incident in its complete array, and change yourself so that the idea of doing that action makes you sick. Is there a smell that makes you sick to your stomach? That is the level of consciousness you must obtain in order to teach, to reach complete teshuvah. Hatred for no reason, as we have explained, means you want the person to not have what they have. It is not that you want it, and it is okay that they have it also. It is that they do not have it, and by your actions you make sure they don't get it. Hatred for no reason requires complete teshuvah. Since the discussion above indicates that we need to ask forgiveness from all members of the generation for delaying the Mashiach, and that's virtually impossible, how do we go about balancing this issue? One partial method is to do good deeds. I know I said that there is a machloket about this, but when it is impossible to ask people to forgive you, doing good deeds for people who come from the same root of the soul accomplishes replacing the asking for forgiveness. Since this is a specific issue between the root of your soul and the root of every other person's soul, thus it works according to the sages. Next week we will be speaking about the energy of the month of Elul. We will be having a Rosh Chodesh connection on Saturday night, August 19th, at 10 p.m. West Coast time. We hope you will join us for this. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
No.
I do.
Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, so the...
Good night.
So the Vidu, I'm staying right, Vidu, Viday, prayer, which is the right pronunciation, Vidu?
Vidu, Vidui.
Vidui, okay. So you say the Vidui prayer every night before the retiring, and you say it during the week, on certain sakrit. I think it's the ones when you read the Torah, but maybe it's the ones who don't read the Torah. Do you remember?
I'm not sure what you're asking, so I will hesitate to answer you.
Well, I'm just saying you say it, I think in the morning a couple of times during the week. I don't remember it in the afternoon or the evening.
You say it in the afternoon. Every afternoon you say the doing.
Mincha, you say it? In Mincha,
and every morning you say it on the days you read the Torah, Monday and Thursday.
Right.
But then there are days that you don't, because the energy of the day doesn't require it. So it's not something we would normally talk about in detail in this kind of a class, because there are many people who take this class and don't pray at all, or they pray in ways that are not traditional.
Okay, so when you say this prayer out loud in the congregation, okay, I'm confused, because on terms of offenses against Hashem, you're supposed to say that to yourself.
Correct.
And offense, so not out loud, offenses against other people, you're supposed to discuss that with the other people.
So, or to say it publicly to more than that person. And that's why Maimonides said it's a good thing to do, to stand up in the minyan and say, I have done this negative action against this person.
We do that.
Please forgive me.
Well, no. I'm not asking about that. I'm saying on Mondays and Thursdays in every minka, you go like this and you go through it.
Okay? Right.
So where does that fit in? You're not talking to the specific person. You're not talking to Hashem because you're talking out loud. So where does that fit in?
You always talk out loud. It doesn't, but whether it's in public or not is the question. Even when it's between you and God, you speak out loud. It's not your thoughts. You speak out loud to God. But it's not public in that other people overhear you.
Why is it public? I'm standing there with, 200 other people who are saying.
That is public. But we also said that one of the aspects of the Vidui is saying this in the order of the Aleph Bet. And just by saying the order of the Aleph Bet, we're putting things into order. And that's what is accomplished by saying it in a minyan.
Okay.
You're putting the universe in order by saying the Vidui.
Okay, I just tried to figure out, you're saying in a minyan, because there was one part where you say to God, there's one part where you say to another person or in front of people, but directed, discussing another person. But you didn't discuss, which the most common thing is when you say it Monday, Thursday, and every minute.
I understand. Thank you for the question. Any other questions? Have a good evening, Jack.
Okay, you too.